Hey, man, wonderful job, boys and girls. If that didn't make you smile, then you don't have a pulse, I guess. Let's take our Bibles together and let's turn to the book of James. The book of James, we're going to use this as really a springboard for my message tonight. I want to take some time tonight and preach on something that all of us face in our lives, and that is dealing with worry. And I started to worry more when I had kids. Kids can do that. And the Bible has much to say about worry. And I want to just look at an expression in James chapter 4. It'll really be the springboard to my message tonight. James chapter 4, and let's begin our reading in verse 11. I hope you have your Bibles tonight. You know, there's all kinds of preaching. There's short preaching and long preaching. And really long preaching, and there's loud preaching and soft preaching. I love all preaching. If it's from the Bible, I love it. And, you know, it teaches us to grow and teaches us from the Bible how we can grow in Christ. And I hope that this will be a help to you. And there's nothing I can say that will help your life. I hope you understand that. It's God's Word that will make a difference. And so we'll look right at what the Bible says. And I pray that you'll heed what God has to say and it'll help you in your life. Worry is something we all deal with. And whether we want to admit it or not, we take thought for our life. And so let's look at what the Bible says, verse 11. It says, "Speak not evil one to another, brethren." This is verse 11, James chapter 4. "But he that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. And if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgeth another? Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we shall go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that doeth, that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." Now I want us to notice the expression in verse 14. The Bible says, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow." Now notice that expression. This is what God is teaching us here. God is saying we do not know what tomorrow holds. We do not know what tomorrow holds. "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow." Let's pray together. Father, I pray you'd help us as we look at your word tonight. Give us understanding, and Lord, I pray you would direct our thoughts. Father in heaven, I pray that you would help us to make good decisions tonight that will impact our tomorrow. And we thank you again for your word and the Spirit of God within us to direct us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So this expression, "whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow," the Bible is teaching us that we are really in our life launching out in the unknown. Every new day brings a new day coming up or a new day tomorrow that is unknown to us. And we don't know the trials that will take place in our lives. And to be honest with you, the unknown can be a very scary thing. To face the unknown can be difficult. We don't know what that doctor is going to say. We don't know those test results. We don't know the outcome of our child or the direction of our child. We don't know if that job will be around. Tomorrow can be a really scary thing. I heard of a man that was seen fleeing down the hallway of a hospital just before his operation. And the receptionist asked the man, "What's the matter?" And he said, "I heard my nurse say that it's a very simple operation. Don't worry, I'm sure everything will be all right." And the receptionist said, "Well, you know, he's just trying to comfort you. There's nothing wrong with that." And the man said, "Nothing wrong with that. He wasn't talking to me, he was talking to the doctor." And the reality is that the unknown can be a very scary thing. Let me give you some quick statistics about worrying. First of all, 40% of all things that we worry about never come to pass. 40% never come to pass. 30% of all our worries involve past decisions that cannot even be changed. We worry about things that you can't do anything about anyway. 12% focus on criticism from others who spoke because they felt inferior. 10% are related to our health, which gets actually worse when we worry. And 8% of our worries could be described as real, legitimate causes to worry about. So think about that. Fewer than one problem in every 10 problems is actually a problem that we should worry about. But the Bible teaches us that we don't know what tomorrow holds, but it also gives us some principles that we need to understand. And so by way of introduction tonight, I want to give you some truths to think about the unknown or the unknowns of tomorrow. Number one, we need to realize the brevity of life. The Bible says in our text, what is your life? It is a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then it vanisheth away. So think about the brevity of life. Our life is not going to last forever. We are upon this earth, but the reality is that one day we will face the doors of death, and then we will be somewhere forever. And I hope you know the Lord tonight. I hope you know that you're going to heaven when this life is over. But we must understand the brevity of life. We must never boast in our plans. The Bible says in our text in verse 13 and verse number 16 that we should not boast in the plans that we have made. It says in verse 13, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we shall go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. In verse 16 it says, but now ye rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicing is evil. Now, the individual was making plans outside of God. And that's not a very smart thing to do for a Christian, is to leave God out of your plans. And the Bible says in this passage of Scripture that we should never boast in our plans. If God will or God allows us to do such a thing, then that's a wonderful blessing, but we can never assume that tomorrow is coming. The Bible teaches us about the rich man that made plans with God. In Luke chapter 12, the Bible says, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night shall thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. The outcome of making plans without God is an unprepared individual. And this rich man was unprepared. And the man that we're talking about in the book of James was unprepared. And so don't make plans ahead of God and just boast in those plans, thinking that you're going to get another opportunity or that another day will come. We need to make God a part of those plans. And then also the Bible teaches us in James chapter 4 that we must understand that God's will is what will happen in our life, or God, the events of our life are Father filtered, that God allows things to happen in our life and that he is in control. In verse 15, the Bible says, for we ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. And so we need to make sure that we are following God and that God is a part of our plans in our life. Now, my message this morning was from John chapter 14. And John chapter 14 speaks of the disciples. Jesus is going back to heaven, or he's really going to a cross, and then he'll ascend back to his Father. And in John chapter 14, he looks at his disciples, which were apprehensive of the events of his life, or they were troubled. And Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. The word trouble there means to be stirred by uncertainty. To be stirred by uncertainty. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And so God gives his disciples really a picture of the Father's house as I preach. I'm not going to re-preach my message tonight. But he gave them a picture of the Father's house to encourage their heart to face the uncertainties that will come into their life. And so God wants us to face the uncertainties of life with confidence. And we don't know what shall be on tomorrow. We don't know what tomorrow holds. But God wants us to live our life with confidence. I want you to turn to Psalm 119. If you turn there in the Word of God, Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And look what the Bible says in verse number 6. Psalm 119 and verse number 6. Psalm 112. If you've gone to 1, 19, you're going to have to go back a couple of chapters. Psalm 112 in verse number 6. The Bible says, surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. Now notice what the Bible says in verse 7. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings or bad news. Have you ever received bad news? Have you ever, I remember many times in my life I've received bad news. And how you handle that bad news, it really reveals what is in the heart of an individual. But look what the Bible says in verse 6. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. In other words, he'll face tomorrow. He'll face the uncertainty of tomorrow. Why? His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. And this is the key as we think about facing the uncertainties of our life, is to have a fixed heart and trust in God. A fixed heart and trust in God. I want to give you 2 points. That's my sermon tonight. Just 2 simple points. It's not the 3 points in a poem. Just 2 points. And I want us to think about how we deal with uncertainties in our life. I'm going to be honest with you. These points are long, though. So it's like 3 points, but I don't know if I have a poem, actually. Point number one, think about this. The reasons not to give in to worry. So I want to give you some reasons why you shouldn't worry. And to do that, I want us to jump to Matthew chapter 6 in your Bible. Matthew chapter 6. And notice what the Bible says in verse 25. So I'm going to use this as my platform here, what God has to say, and giving to you reasons why we should not worry. Reasons why we should not worry. Number one, this is the first reason. This is in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. The first reason why we shouldn't worry is because the same God who created life can be also trusted in the details of your life. The same God that created your life can be trusted in every little detail of your life. Look what the Bible says, Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, it says, take no thought. Now the word there in our Bible, take no thought, the idea is to be anxious about or to worry. So here Jesus is preaching, he's the preacher, and he's saying, don't worry. Don't take thought, he says, for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? So the very first thought I want us to understand is that God loves us. We are the apple of his eye. And the Bible teaches us that we are better than the sparrows and the flowers that clothe the field. We are better than all of those things. And God is interested in the very minute details of your life. Don't believe the lie that is in our world today that God doesn't care about the little things in your life. God does care about the little things in your life. The Bible says that your tears are placed in a bottle and your hairs are numbered. God cares about the details of your life. And God is interested in every concern, casting all your care. Now notice what the Bible says, all your care. God doesn't number cares, important, not important. You know, God is not, he doesn't have a system up in heaven where, you know, only the important things come to his attention. No, God cares about everything that happens in your life. And the Creator God who made us is interested in the details of our life. God says here that life is more important than food and clothing, money and riches, the eternal things of the world, verse 26. Behold the fowls of the air, he says, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much, now notice what the Bible says, are ye not much better than they? You know, the fowls of the air trust God more than a child of God. And the Bible says in this passage of Scripture, that the fowls of the air trust in God, their Creator, to provide for them food. And so the Bible teaches us that God, we are much more, we are better than they. And so, friend, you can trust God. God will never let you down. God is interested in the, the details of your life. Number two, this is why you shouldn't worry. Number one, God is interested in the details of your life. Number two, worrying about the unknown today hinders our work in the future. Worrying about the unknowns today is going to hinder our efforts in the future. It says in verse 26, "Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?" Now the fowls, they don't work, they don't prepare. The Bible says they don't sow seed, they don't gather and place in barns, yet God takes care of them. Now the biblical principle is you don't work, you don't eat. God expects us to work. God expects us to prepare. If we're a sluggard, we should consider the ant, the Bible says. So we ought to prepare. And the reality is worrying hinders us from working and doing what God has called us to do. I want you to turn to the book of Proverbs and notice a passage of Scripture, Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs chapter 21. And I want us to think of this biblical principle, this proverb, I guess we could say, in this passage of Scripture. So Proverbs 21 and then verse 31. Look what the Bible says here. This proverb has helped me in my life. You know, there are people who say, well, you know, you should never buy insurance. You should never prepare. You should never save. You should never do all of those things. And the Bible makes it clear that we should do our part, but ultimately our trust is in the Lord. Now look what the Bible says in verse 31. It says, "The horse is prepared against the day of battle." Now, the preparation of the horse is speaking of war. And so a nation prepares the horse to fight. A nation prepares their warriors for war. But the Bible said that safety is of the Lord. In other words, there's nothing wrong with going to a doctor. People say, oh, you know, you should trust God and you shouldn't go. There's nothing wrong with going to a doctor. Who do you think gave that doctor the ability to learn what he knows and to help people? You know, God has given him that ability. God has given him that knowledge, that wisdom. And the reality is that, yeah, you know what? We ought to work hard. We ought to prepare. We ought to do all those things. But ultimately, our trust is not in those things. Our safety is not in those things. Our confidence is not in those things. Our confidence is in God. So the Bible teaches us that we should prepare. We should work hard. But we need to trust in the Lord. God is ultimately the one who brings safety and peace. And so when we worry, we hinder that in our life. Number three, this is why we shouldn't worry. Number three, worrying is more harmful than helpful. Look what the Bible says, verse 27. It says, "Which of you by taking thought, or which of you by worrying, can add one cubit unto his stature?" Now, the word there, stature, means height or quality of status gained by growth. So the Bible is saying here that which of you can grow or make any difference by worrying? You know what I've learned over my years of experience in worrying? That worrying doesn't change anything. You know what happens if you worry all night when you wake up? The same problem is still there. And you've not done anything about it. And to be honest with you, all you've done is hurt yourself. You've harmed yourself. I mean, studies have shown worrying, stress. It's hard on your body. And really what you've done by taking that time and worrying, and by the way, this is a good way to define what worry is all about. The Bible teaches us in the book of Philippians that the things which are right and pure and true, then we ought to think on those things. And so we ought to meditate. The Bible teaches us we ought to meditate on the Word of God. And you know, our world has messed up that word meditate and made it into something that is not. It's a Bible word. It's a good word. It just means to bring to your mind over and over again. And you should meditate on the Word of God over and over again. But the problem is that we think about, we meditate upon things that may never come to pass. We worry about our health. We worry about our finances. We worry about our job. We worry about what this person thinks about us or what this person did or what this person does. And we worry about those things. And the reality is thinking about those things don't change the circumstance. And this is what God is saying. God is saying, which of you who worry actually made a difference? And the answer is none. It cannot happen. The point is that it's pointless. Worrying doesn't accomplish anything. It's pointless to do so. Death was walking towards a city, and a man stopped Death and asked him, "What are you doing, going to do?" And Death said, "I'm going to kill 10,000 people today." The man ran ahead of the city and warned everyone. He warned that death was coming and what Death was going to do. At the end of the day, he met Death again and he said, "You said you were only going to kill 10,000 people, and now 70,000 people are dead." Death said, "I killed only 10,000 people, but worry and fear killed the others." The reality is that worry doesn't accomplish anything. It hurts us. It hinders us. It doesn't help. So that's why we shouldn't worry. Number four, why shouldn't we worry? God does not ignore those who trust in Him. Look what the Bible says back in our text, Matthew chapter 6, verse 28. The Bible says, "And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Therefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven," look at this, "shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" I think that if we could consider a boxing match, and on one corner is worry and fear, and the other corner is faith. Worry and faith are really opposite ends. And Jesus is saying to the multitude that God will take care of you. You need to trust in the Lord. And he said, though, because you worry, you are one who has little faith. Think about these numbers for just a moment and think about how blessed we are in this country. If you have food in the refrigerator, clothes on your back, a roof overhead, and a place to sleep, then you are richer than 75% of the world. Think about that. 75% of the world. Jesus said in this passage of Scripture, if you're concerned about food and clothing, God will take care of you. The problem is that we worry about things they're not even as important as that. I'm not trying to minimize our problems, but the reality is that many times the problems that we worry about are really just insignificant. And here he's talking about food and raiment, the necessities of life. 75% of the world's population doesn't have a roof over their head or food in the refrigerator. We truly are a blessed people. Think about these numbers. If you have money in the bank, in your wallet, or even spare change in the dish someplace, you are among the top 8% of the world's wealthy. Wow, amazing. You know, when Jesus in the New Testament, he talked about the rich, I'll tell you something, he's talking about us. He's talking about us. The problem with our country is that we have it so good, we don't need God. And, you know, Jesus said it's hard. It's hard for people who have riches to come to the Lord because there's deceitfulness in riches and their God becomes their riches and there's a false security in those riches. Think about these numbers. If you woke up this morning with more health than illness, you are more blessed than the millions who will not survive this week. If you have never experienced the danger of battle, the loneliness of imprisonment, the agony of torture, or the pains of starvation, you are ahead of 50 million people around the world. If you can attend church meetings without the fear of harassment, arrest, torture, or even death, then you are blessed than more than a billion people around this world. Hey, listen, friend, we are truly blessed. We are truly blessed. And the Bible teaches us that God wants us to trust in Him and have faith in Him. Number five, why we shouldn't worry. I told you it was a long point. Why we shouldn't worry. Number five, worrying shows a lack of faith and understanding of the Lord. The Bible says here, "O ye of little faith." God help us today to trust God and to grow in our faith. I've learned to trust Him. Listen, when you become a Christian, you don't automatically have great faith. You grow into that faith. I love what the hymn writer said. I'm so glad I've learned to trust him. And so it's a learning process. It's sanctification. It's growing in your trust in the Lord. Number six, worrying keeps you from pursuing what God wants you to pursue. Worrying keeps you from pursuing what God wants you to pursue. Look what the Bible says in verse 32. He says here, for all of these things do the Gentiles seek. Now, what is he talking about? He's talking about the necessities of life. The Gentiles, or the at this particular time, he's talking about the heathen nations who do not believe in God. He says those individuals, it is all about, it's their life to seek for those things. Their life is to seek for those necessities of life, food and clothing. That's what their life is all about. He says, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Verse 33, but this is the direction of the Christian. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Hey, listen, friend. We have to be very careful that the blessing of God doesn't become our God. The blessing of God doesn't become our God. And the blessings of God, the food and the raiment and all the wonderful things that we enjoy in this country and in this land, listen, they're all a blessing, but they cannot be the pursuit of our life. We need to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And God says, I'll take care of all the other things. Just put me first, and I'll take care of all of the necessities of our life. And so we need to make sure that we are following the Lord and trusting him, seeking first the kingdom of God. So here's my second point. So that was reasons why you shouldn't worry. Now this is really the meat of the message tonight. I want to give you some relief from worrying. What does the Bible teach us of how we can find relief from our worry? You know, I want to make it very clear. I don't have tonight a secret formula. I don't have a booklet, you know, with five easy steps and you'll be worry-free in 24 hours. I don't have any of that. But the Bible does give us some pointers to help us so that we can take control of our thought process. Number one, this is real simple. Make a conscious decision not to let worry consume you. Not to let worry consume you. It's back in our text, Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. The Bible says, therefore, now because of all these things, I've learned in Bible college, when you look at the Word of God and you see a word therefore, you should always check to see why it's therefore. And so what he's talking about is he's talking about God taking care of your needs, God meeting your needs, the necessities of your life. And so the Bible says, therefore, because God loves us and because God's interested in the details of our life and because God provides for the creatures that he's made, and yet we're much more better. God made us in his image. We're the apple of his eye. God is going to take care of our needs as well. And so the Bible says, therefore, because of these things, take no thought saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? So the Bible is saying, because of these truths that we learned about God, don't worry. Simple, right? You know, oftentimes when I worry the most is when I fail to see who God is in my life. And that's why the Bible says, by the way, to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Because if we get our eyes off of him and on our circumstances or on the waves, we begin to sink. And so the Bible says, make a decision. Make a decision. I'm not going to worry. God will take care of it. God will take care of my needs. I'm not going to worry. All of the events of my life are Father filter. They all go by God's desk. He's in control of the events of my life if you're a child of God. And so the Bible says that we need to make that decision. We need to make that decision that we're going to trust in him and make that conscious decision to decide, I'm not going to let worry consume me. Listen, sometimes you need to catch yourself. Sometimes you lay in bed and you can't sleep at night And the devil loves that when you can't sleep at night. You know what I do? I start praying or reading the Bible, and I find the devil just rocks me right to sleep. He doesn't want me to do any of those things. But you lay at bed, in bed at night, and you start to think, you begin to worry. And it can start to consume your thoughts and control the way you think. And you need to make that decision. I'm not going to let worry control me. I'm going to focus on God. God will take care of my needs. Look unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, we need to live one day at a time. Live one day at a time. It's in our text. Look what the Bible says, verse 34. He says, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Each day ought to be lived as it comes. Now, this verse is not teaching that we shouldn't prepare. This verse is teaching on worry. Now, let's get the Bible in context here. And the Bible is saying when it comes to worrying about the circumstances of our life, listen, tomorrow has enough difficulties. Don't worry about tomorrow. There's enough that will happen tomorrow for you to handle. But the reality is that you need to take it one day at a time. And someone said this that really helped me and bring worry in perspective is that God doesn't give grace for imaginary circumstances. God gives you grace for what you're going through in the moment. And so, you know, it's kind of like a father and a son that's going on a train ride. And the father and son are waiting at the train station, and the father has that ticket in his hand. And as that son gets onto that train, the father hands him that ticket just in time to board that train and to go on that train ride. And that's the way God handles his grace. You know, Paul went through the thorn in his flesh, and at that moment he said, Lord, I'm not able to bear it. Lord, I can't get through this. And Christ said, my grace is sufficient for thee. In that moment, in that circumstance, Paul, I'm going to help you get over it. God doesn't give imaginary grace for imaginary circumstances. Those problems may never come to pass. God gives you the grace for the moment. God gives you the grace for the circumstances. And I understand your biggest problem is the problem you're currently in. And God gives you grace to overcome that. But listen, friend, the Bible makes it clear. You need to take it one day at a time. Handle the problems one day at a time, the circumstances of your life one day at a time. Let me give you five attitudes toward the unknown. Number one, there's first of all the no-care worldly attitude. The no-care worldly attitude. And this attitude, and we see it in our world all the time, is a person eats and drinks and is merry today, letting tomorrow take care of itself. The future is of little concern, and we'll it will take care of itself. You know, earthly pleasure, power, and fame are the majority concerns of life, and all he needs to do is just live his life to the fullest. That's a worldly, unbiblical perspective of life, and that's not what the Bible is teaching us at all. And then there's the fretful, anxious attitude, and this is a person who worries all of the time. Wondering if he is secure and wondering if he'll have enough to take care of himself and his family. And he's constantly bombarded with worry and kind of, you know, I said it before, the Eeyore philosophy of life. And that's how they live their life. And then there's the fearful, panicky attitude. In the face of trial and failure, a person can barely function. Tragedy has hit. His job is lost. Cutbacks are made. Adjustments are needed. And strength and confidence to act and to continue is lacking on their part because they've found confidence in those things. And when those things are pulled away, then they have no more confidence left. And then there's the self-assured attitude. And this is also unbiblical. And this is found in a person is complete confidence in himself and his own abilities. And they think they're going to get through tomorrow in their own strength and their own ability. And they don't need the help of God. Or they don't need the help of anyone else. They're just going to take care of it all themselves. This is unbiblical and ungodly. But the Bible teaches us of a calm, God-centered, trusting attitude. And this is a person that goes about living and working ever so diligently and calmly, trusting God to take care of it all. He does all that he can in the necessities of life. Now, don't miss this. He does all that he can in this world, preparing and working hard, but leaving the results to God and trusting God to take care of the details. He seeks God and his righteousness first, and this is the primary concern of his life. Oftentimes, we can be overwhelmed by worry in our life, and yet the Bible says to take one day at a time. The hymn writer said, day by day and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet each trial, my trials here, trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly, it's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Each day the Lord himself is near me with a special mercy for each hour. All he cares he fain would bear and cheer me. He whose name is counselor in power. The protection of his child and treasure is a charge that on himself he laid. As thy days, thy strength shall be in measure. This the pledge to me he made. Help me then in every tribulation, so to trust thy promises, O Lord, that I lose not faith's sweet consolation offered me within thy holy word. Help me, Lord, when toil and trouble meeting, e'er to take as from a father's hand, one by one the days, the moments fleeting, till I rest in the promised land. God, help us today not to worry, but trust in the Lord. Let's pray together tonight. Father in heaven, thank you for the message that you've given to us in your word. And Lord, this is your message for us. Father, I pray you would help us as we are in a world today that is filled with concern and worry. Help us, Lord, I pray, to keep our eyes on you. And Father, I pray if there's anyone here tonight that's going through a difficult time in their life and they are prone to worry, Father, I pray you would give them the peace in their heart. Lord, I pray you would help them to see you high, holy, and lifted up, and that you care about them and will take care of the details of their life. Help us to make good decisions tonight that will honor and glorify you. Again, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.